Welcome to Burnside at Home for Sunday, the 26th of December. Thank you for joining with us again today. This is a pre-record of the sermon, which will be preached in Burnside on Sunday, the 26th, Boxing Day. You can listen to this on our podcast. You can subscribe to that for free. You can listen to it on the telephone line. You can also watch it along with the slides from the service on our website as well. And the live recording of the service is also available on the website, as is the live recording of our Christmas morning service, which took place yesterday. So just a few announcements at the start. Can I just thank everyone who has contributed towards our World Development Appeal this year? So far, we have raised £2,916, which is being given to Tear Fund and to Christian Aid to work on projects in Ethiopia and in Haiti. And it's still not too late to contribute. Just simply put your donation in an envelope, mark it World Development Appeal, and then leave it in the offering plate or send it to the church. And we will take care of that. And thank you very much for all your generosity. Also, can I mention the United Appeal of our church, which we had at harvest time. And we raised £5,862 for the United Appeal. And I want to thank you for that. And that helps our Presbyterian church reach out with the good news of the gospel and mission. So it's a United Appeal for mission. And thank you for that. So let's worship God together. And in Matthew 2 and verses 5 to 6, we read about the Magi coming to Herod to worship Jesus. And whenever they ask, "Where is the one born the King of the Jews?" Herod's advisors tell him, "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." So today, once again, we're finding hope under Bethlehem skies, and we're looking to the one who is born in Bethlehem. And we're asking today, where is Jesus in this whole story of Ruth that we've been reading together? So let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the hope that we have found in Jesus Christ. We thank you that Jesus is here among us and that we can find him within the pages of the book of Ruth. Help us to understand today, Lord. Help us to see Jesus afresh. And in this Advent season, as we've just celebrated Christmas Day, we want to celebrate our Saviour Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness of sins that we have in Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings towards us. And Lord, we thank you for the wonderful promise of eternal life. And therefore today we trust in you and we rely upon you. And we ask for your continued blessing with us. For Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our reading today then, although we're going to be looking at the book of Ruth, we have read through it already. Our reading today is from Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 to 12, and it's the visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Amen. A few months ago, whenever we were looking together at the book of Genesis, do you remember that question that we asked each week? Where is Jesus? As we read about Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, we looked at each story to discover where we could find Jesus. Today then, as we are getting even closer, or we've just passed by Christmas, we're going to pause and ask the same question again today. Where is Jesus? In the middle of the rushing about, while we buy and wrap presents and we've decorated trees and we've placed lights on them and we've sung carols and we've ate mince pies, where is Jesus in the aftermath of all of that? During this Advent, we have been finding hope under Bethlehem skies as we've been reading through the book of Ruth. So it's probably a good time to stop and ask, where is Jesus in the book of Ruth? And where is this hope under Bethlehem skies? There are many places that we find Jesus in the story of Ruth, and many things that we see him doing. So we're going to look together at a few of those occasions in the story. Some we've already covered on previous weeks, so I'm only going to mention that a select few today. But part of the wonder of Ruth is that the story helps us focus on a baby being born in Bethlehem, and that is where we end up today. But it also helps us see how that baby now impacts our lives as a crucified and risen Saviour. To begin with, we find out that Jesus is our protector. Ruth, if you remember, is in a foreign land. She has no security. She's vulnerable. She is hoping to gather enough around the edges of the field so that she and Naomi will have enough to eat for a little while. And then Boaz comes and offers her protection. Chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the girls. I've told the men not to touch you." And this is what Jesus does for us. This is the hope that we find under Bethlehem skies. Whenever we are lonely and vulnerable, when we feel under attack, Jesus protects us. Boaz makes it so that there's no safer place for Ruth to be but in his field. And it is always better for us to be in Christ's presence than to be anywhere else. That's the safest place to be protected. Jesus protects us. In John chapter 17, Jesus prays an incredible prayer for his followers. And in that prayer, he prays for their protection. "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me." Jesus not only protects us, but he also prays for our protection. And so in this story of Ruth, we see that Jesus is the protector. Linked very closely then with being the protector, we also discover that Jesus is the provider. Ruth and Naomi have little to eat, and Ruth goes out into the field to gather the scraps that are left over at harvest time. This was a provision that was put in place to help the poor and the bereaved. But Boaz provides for them by making sure that there is extra left for them. Not just the normal little bits that are left at the edge of the harvest field, Boaz tells his workers to actively leave more behind for Ruth to pick up. Boaz says to Ruth in chapter 2 verse 9, "Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you, and whenever you're thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." And here again we see what Jesus does for us. This is the hope that we find under Bethlehem skies. When we are without, Jesus provides for us. Boaz provides for the poor and the outcast and the widow and the foreigner. And Jesus does the same and calls us to do the same for him. Jesus heals the sick. He feeds the hungry. He finds those who are lost. He saves those who are perishing. Who else cares for Ruth and Naomi at this time? Well, it's only Boaz. Even his manager is dismissive. Whenever he's talking about Ruth, he calls her the Moabite woman. And at a time when very few in Bethlehem are actually following God's law and obeying them, Boaz leaves enough around the field for the gleaning. And not only that, he then leaves extra for Ruth. What a picture of our Saviour. A Saviour who is generous. A Saviour who is caring. A Saviour who provides for us. Then thirdly, we see that Jesus is our Redeemer. The whole story of Ruth seems to build towards this idea of the kinsman Redeemer being revealed. We're introduced to Boaz at the start of chapter 2, and then the tension builds as we slowly discover the significance of who he is. In the Old Testament, the inheritance from God is very closely tied to the land that each person owns. If you fall upon hard times, you can sell your land to make some money. But a kinsman redeemer always has the right to buy back that land, no matter who owns it. Now, in the New Testament, land is no longer as important. Whenever we get to the New Testament, it's the individual soul that matters. It all depends on what we have done with our lives and who we're trusting in. But just as Boaz is able to buy back the land that was once owned by Elimelech, Jesus is able to buy back our souls or redeem our lives. Lives that were created by God, but we have sold to sin for the pleasures of this world. Now, we know clearly that the wages of sin is death. So to buy us back from death, Jesus steps into our place and he dies instead of us. He pays the price and therefore we are set free. Now, it's costly to redeem. Boaz has to pay for the land and then he has to take Ruth as his wife. Now, there is a closer relative and Boaz goes through the process of offering the closer relative the opportunity to buy back the land. But this closer relative decides not to when he hears that Ruth is also part of the deal. He decided that the cost for him would be too much, and therefore he wasn't prepared to redeem the land and to redeem Ruth. So redemption is a costly exercise. It's not just that somebody has this honoured position of being the kinsman redeemer. They actually have to go through with it and they have to give of themselves. We praise God today that Jesus did not consider the cost too much, but instead gave himself unto death so that we could be redeemed. Paul describes it like this in Philippians. Talking about Jesus, he says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus is our Redeemer, the one who buys us back from death. Finally then for today, we're going to see that Jesus is also our promised hope. The climax of the story of Ruth is the arrival of a baby. Obed is born. But the baby is not the end of the story. The baby brings us hope. And that is realized in a couple of generations' time, whenever David is born to Jesse. And David becomes king over Israel, and he is a good king who leads the country well, and the country prospers under his time as king. In Bethlehem, the birth of Jesus is also not the end of the story. Jesus brings hope, and that is realized 30 years later when he is crucified, and then he rises from the dead with victory over the grave and with victory over sin. The hope that we see here is not just for Ruth and Naomi. The hope that we see here is not just for the nation of Israel. The hope here is not just for those who are gathered in first century Bethlehem. The hope is also for us today. Jesus is our promised hope. And today I pray that we would find him under Bethlehem skies, that we would trust him, that we would follow him, that we would rest in him and remain in him. So let's bow before him in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we rejoice to be in your presence, and we thank you. We can never thank you enough for the wonderfully generous gift of sending your son Jesus to die in our place, to take away our sins, to set us free. Lord, we have hope today because of Jesus. We have hope in a world of despair. We have grace in a world of bitterness. We have truth in a world of lies. And therefore, Lord, we trust in you today and we rejoice to be here. We put our whole trust in you now and we ask, Lord, for your blessing to be upon us. We pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen. Once again, thank you so much for joining with us today in our time of worship. I pray that God will continue to bless you into the new year, and we will be back again next Sunday at 11 o'clock.